The New Factory Thinker by Bill Bishop. Chapter 26. Teaching. There's an old expression, he who can does, he who can't teaches. But in the new factory marketplace, this aphorism is turned on its ear, he who can gets paid a wage, he who teaches gets rich. This updated saying points to a universal truth, what you know is much more valuable than what you do. That's why new factory thinkers become teachers. They teach their prospects and customers what they have learned from their experience. What they've learned works and doesn't work, and the best ways to solve big problems and achieve big goals. Old factory thinkers don't see teaching as their role in the marketplace. In fact, they don't believe teaching is a good idea. They jealously guard everything they know. They keep their wisdom and knowledge under lock and key. As one businessman told me, if I teach people what I know, what would they need me for? This objection is understandable, but it misses the bigger point. If people see you as a valuable source of knowledge and wisdom, they will be attracted to you and keep coming back for more of the same. You will become a leader and an expert in their estimation. As we've discussed in previous chapters, empowering people to do things themselves is an effective value creation strategy in this marketplace. People today don't want you to have power over them. They want you to empower them. And the best way to do that is to empower them with knowledge and wisdom. If you do that, you will not only attract more subscribers and members, you'll also have greater influence in their lives and their businesses. As such, they will more likely join your membership program and buy products and services from your one-stop store. Most old factory thinkers also don't believe they are experts. Sure, they have educational credentials and business experience, but they direct this knowledge to the task of pumping more products and services through their assembly line. New factory thinkers, on the other hand, recognize the value of their knowledge. They don't set themselves up on a pedestal, but they realize that they have important information to share with the world. They also see that teaching is a great opportunity to get more members and make more money. The first step is to take what's in your head and get it down on paper or some electronic equivalent. Write down the top 10 tips you have for your customers. Here are some example tips. Create a mind map of ideas before you start writing a story. Stop using electronic devices 1 hour before going to bed. Drink 5 liters of water each day. When brainstorming, do it in small groups and then bring them together to share their ideas at the end. Use a proactive maintenance schedule to cut downtime by 35%. Stand, don't sit, while having team meetings. There are a million possibilities. When you start listing your tips, you will realize how much you know. Over the years, you've learned hundreds of things that don't work, and a dozen or so things that work every time. It is valuable information. It can help people avoid all of the trial and error you went through. It can save their health, their relationships, their businesses, even their lives. That's why it's really your duty to share it. Just one technical note here. When you make your list of tips, start with a verb, such as create, start, drink, do, use, stand. Also give the tips as if you are teaching them how to do it themselves. Don't say, hire us to help you. Or hire an expert to. Those are self-serving tips that border on selling, not teaching. In addition, try to create original tips that your audience hasn't heard before. Don't just regurgitate tips from books by other experts. Your audience has probably read those books too. When you have your 10 tips, add meat to the bone. Write 1 page to further explain each tip. Then turn these 10 pages into an ebook. Create a blog, video, or podcast about each tip. Run a seminar or webinar. Write an article for an online magazine. Give a keynote presentation. Write a full-length book. As you further hone and expand on your tips, you will better appreciate the usefulness of your knowledge for your audience and for yourself. Your audience will be empowered with information they can use. As for yourself, you will feel more confident and clear about what you know and be positioned as a preeminent teacher and thought leader in your field. You will also realize that there is no danger in sharing everything you know. In fact, the danger is that you don't share it. That's because someone might come along and beat you to the punch. They will become the recognized expert on your subject, not you. You will then be subjected to the unpleasant experience of sitting in an audience while one of your competitors gives a keynote speech you could have given. That will drive you crazy. By sharing your knowledge, you will attract more people into your sphere of influence. Sure, some of these people will take what you teach them and do it themselves, but they would have done that anyway. But you will also reach a larger number of people who appreciate what you're saying, get it, and want you to help them implement your ideas. In addition, investigating and articulating what you know, you find even more hidden knowledge in your cranium. You also see the world more clearly and pull in additional information from the environment. That's the thing about knowledge. It shrivels up when it's not shared, and expands exponentially when it is. In the new factory marketplace, knowledge is infinitely more useful than effort. You can make a lot more money teaching what you know than doing something for someone. Not sure? Consider this. You can get paid for cutting lawns for, let's say, $20 per lawn. If you cut 5 lawns in one day, you make $100. You could also hire 5 employees and cut 25 lawns a day for a total of $500 a day, less labor and operating costs, for a net of, let's say, $200. Under this old factory model, there is a limit to the amount of money you can make, and to scale it, you would need to buy a lot of lawn movers and deal with a lot of complexity. You would also face significant competition from other lawn maintenance companies. A new factory lawn company would take a different track. They would become teachers. They would teach people how to maintain their own lawns. They would teach them about the different kinds of grasses, the best way to fertilize them, and how to water them. They would create a website called the Lawn Academy and offer videos and courses on lawn care. They would also set up a one-stop store where lawn and garden companies could sell their wares and even sell the services of other lawn care companies. They could also set up an accreditation course for lawn care providers to become Lawn Academy certified. In this example, the new factory is built around teaching as its core value proposition. Most of this teaching is provided as free value in order to attract subscribers and members, who then purchase additional products and services from the one-stop store. And by attracting thousands, perhaps millions of lawn owners, the new factory also attracts a lot of suppliers who are willing to give the Lawn Academy a portion of each sale. Even more compelling, the old factory lawn care company might reach a few hundred customers while the new factory Lawn Academy could reach millions. The great thing is, teaching is a way to sell without selling. As we discussed earlier on, consumers today are hard to reach with a sales pitch. But if you have something useful to teach them, they will put down their armor and engage in what you are saying. They will see you as an expert, not a salesperson, and hold you in much higher regard. Moreover, the cost of being a teacher has dropped almost to zero. It costs virtually nothing these days to produce blogs, videos, podcasts, books, and webinars. It also costs nothing to spread your knowledge through social media. Understanding that you are an expert with a lot of valuable knowledge to share is a key step towards becoming a new factory thinker. In the old factory, no one cared about what you knew. They just wanted you to keep the assembly line moving. But in the new factory marketplace, you can step back from the machine and look at the big picture. You can see what's actually going on. From this perspective, you can recognize patterns that are hidden when standing at the assembly line. You can see the big problems that are not being solved by old factories. You can also see problems that are being caused the old factories. And you can see the potential to achieve much bigger and better goals and new ways to achieve them. You then have inexpensive tools to teach people what you've learned. You also need to realize that you understand your customers better than they do in many ways. They are caught up in their own little worlds, but you have worked with hundreds of people like them. You see the patterns of commonality. You see that they all have the same problems and deal with those problems in the same ineffectual ways. You can also see their future. You know what happens to people like them if they don't address their big problems. You also know what is possible if they do. Once again, your knowledge and wisdom is extremely valuable. So don't waste all of your energy and spirit in simply pumping products and services through an assembly line. Become a new factory thinker, teach. One final note on this topic. The most important activity of a new factory thinker is to think. The key is to think about the right things. Direct your thinking outward towards the problems and opportunities your customers have. Think deeply about the barriers that are stopping them from achieving their big goals. Think about the best ways for them to achieve these goals, and when you are ready, share your insights. One second final note, new factory thinkers regularly step away for extended periods of contemplation. They balance being active with being thoughtful.